family fanatic named Will.
Hey, Will.
And obviously, I don't think there's any big guys that literally using Narcotics Anonymous, because I hate the fact that they put us behind a fucking podium. Some of that might be because I'm short as shit, and I look like SpongeBob SquarePants behind that fucker, and you know, and I'm truly grateful for the committee, and anybody who saw, see, but this is one of them topics, right, that like, it might not be an honor if they ask you to speak on humility and anonymity. It might not be such an honor. It might be, right, Mark, that they seen you do some shit along the way that might have humbled your ass, right? Yeah. I remember I told my good friend sitting in the back, Mike, he was going through it, man, and he was struggling. And we were at each other's throats, really, at that point in time. And I remember Mike was struggling, and he said, "Man, I don't feel like I have anything to offer. I hope you don't mind me talking about this, Mike." He said, I don't feel like I have anything to offer. I feel like with 20 some years and blah blah blah." And I remember I walked up to him, Mike, and I said, "Mike, you're the most humble motherfucker I've ever met inside of Narcotics Anonymous." And he looked at me like I was mentally challenged, right? And he said, "How do you figure?" I said, "True humility, right? Listen, say my shit, it's in the literature. It says true humility is knowing who we truly are. The good, the bad, and the ugly. This is in the seventh step, right? I have to know my assets and liabilities, right? It's all well and good to know that I'm a kind, gentle, giving person. But like, do you know that you're an asshole?" Right? Because like, I can't change that, Mark. You know what I mean? Anything that I have to address, right, man? Anything that I have to address, I have to accept. I can't get through nothing that I don't accept. So, you know, Mike was one of the most humble people I've ever met, because he knew he was an asshole.
True.
And for me, man, that's how I learned about humility, right? Like, I'm talking about, listen, I don't know about anybody else, but like, if you really believe that you come into Narcotics Anonymous and you're the perfect role model for the recovering addict, and you walk this thing on a straight line, and you learn traditions, better get another sponsor. Because somebody's feeding you a line. And that's what I found out for me, man. It's like growing for me, Mark. Growing for me is being willing to step out and do something that I'm not used to. And I've made a ton of mistakes. Listen, I tell you, man, I remember I had a year and a half clean. My friend who just celebrated 15 years clean. See, I know I got 14 and a half years clean. Not that I keep track. But anytime my friend Graham celebrates clean time, I know that I got 6 months to go before I celebrate the same clean date that he has, right? So my friend Graham just celebrated 15 years. So my clean date is February 20th, 2009. It was kind of crazy when you said, you know, I didn't realize we were that close, actually. But I know that we've seen each other at conventions and throughout the years, like along the way. I remember when you chaired the convention. I'm talking about like, you know, and I see this man and me and him, and we had this member that was at the home group level, and he ain't do shit. Some of y'all are in here, so I ain't doing shit at the home group level people. You know what I mean? But you belong. It's okay. But my egotistical ass had a home group. I had never done nothing right in my life. Now I'm doing something right in my life. It sounds like a great idea because you ain't doing nothing, Jesse, to vote you out of the home group. I didn't say vote you out of the position because you ain't showing up and doing nothing. No, I vote you out of the entire home group. And I remember. I remember. remember the fellowship calling me, and when I say the fellowship calling, the entire fellowship calling. The entire fellowship, not one person of the fellowship, not two people of the fellowship. I got a bunch of phone calls. And I remember going and reading, because I knew I did wrong. The minute, even before people called me, man, the minute I realized that I had voted somebody out of my home group, man, I knew I ain't do nothing wrong as far as our guidelines are, but I knew it wasn't fucking spiritual. And I knew if it wasn't spiritual, Jesse, it wasn't the right thing to do. I didn't know why yet. I hadn't come to the conclusion, Mark, that I was doing what I was doing. It says that service should be done in the spirit of trying to give back, right? I didn't know that the things that I was doing to stay clean, Mike, was in the spirit of just trying to give back to a program that had freely given me, right? I didn't know this yet. Nobody had taught me. You know what I mean? We were the two elder statesmen of the... And Mike can tell you, man, at one point in time, we had the most clean time. It was like, you know, there was like three other members that had more clean time than us. So we was predecessors in an area, Jesse, that we shouldn't have been predecessors yet. You know what I mean? We didn't know how to be predecessors. So I'm talking about like voting this dude out, man. And I remember thinking, man, this ain't right. You know, and somebody told me, you know, it's a violation of the third tradition. See, one thing you got to know about me, Matt. One thing you got to know about me is once I know that I did something wrong, Mark, I'm going to do some studying on where I went wrong. So you better be right when you come at my throat. And I proceeded to let them know, no, it wasn't a violation of the third tradition, because I didn't say they couldn't come back to Narcotics Anonymous. It was a violation of the second tradition, because I voted them out of the home group. It had nothing to do with the third tradition. They're welcome to come back. They're even welcome to come back and sign, but I voted them out. So it had nothing to do with the third tradition. I can't make this shit up. Thank God y'all loved me, man. Thank God nobody kicked me out of Narcotics Anonymous, man. Thank God nobody told me, man, you don't take your arrogant ass up out of here, you know? But I learned, Mike. I learned how to apply principles, man. I learned when I'm mad at my friend, but I see my friend over there hurt with 20 years clean. I learned that I go over there and I hug my friend. And I pick my friend up, right? I learned that through the trials and errors. I learned that through thinking that I was something, right? I learned that through believing that I was doing something right, so I had the right, you know what I mean? And I never would have come to a place, right? You know what I mean? Because I was real good. I'm real good, Jesse. I'm real good when you're new, right? And you come in and you share a whole mess of stuff. I'm real good at telling you I understand. I've been there, right? But what I'm not real good at, and I've learned this over the years, what I'm not real good at is when you got 25 years clean and then you judge the newcomer for what they do and you pick them apart. Now I'm forgetting, Jesse, that I got to apply the same principles I'm asking you to apply to the newcomer to your old-timer ass, right? Because this anonymity piece says that there's no big eyes and no little U's in Narcotics Anonymous, that we're all created equally. So I have to learn to practice some understanding that we are all human beings. We are not the program of Narcotics Anonymous. We are the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. We are members, which means we are human beings, which means we are fallible. Right? Which means it doesn't matter that this young man has 40-some years clean. Am I going to be okay when he makes a mistake? Am I going to look at him with 40-some years clean and say, it's okay? I'm not going to judge you. You're allowed to be human too. Right? you're allowed to make the same mistakes, right? So, because over the years, I found out that like the only difference between an old timer and a newcomer is how long it's been since they put the drug in their system. The disease of addiction, when you go through trials and tribulations of life, we talk about, when we put fancy names on it in Narcotics Anonymous, we say life on life's terms, right? The disease of addiction don't know nothing about how long you've been clean, right? That's why we don't focus on, oh, you smoke crack? Oh, I shoot dope. You know what I mean? You don't understand. That's why we don't focus on, oh, you drink alcohol? Oh, you smoke weed? Really? You're here for smoking weed? Really? You know what I mean? That's why we don't focus on that. Because the disease don't. The disease of addiction don't give a damn what drug it is we use to get to Narcotics Anonymous. The disease just wants to know how we're hurt so that it can manipulate and infiltrate to do what it's destined to do. And that's to get us isolated, vulnerable by ourselves and kill us. So I've learned, man, I've learned over the years that like to not take my clean time, not to take February 20th, 2009 so fucking serious. I've learned to understand, man, to take wherever I am spiritually for that day to be the seriousness. Where am I at today, Mark? They told me it's a just for today program, right? But I didn't know how to internalize that. I had to go through trials and tribulations, man. I needed to be humble. You know what I mean? In the seventh step of the step working guide, it says that we have been, I'm paraphrasing, but it talks about picking us up, man, and uncovering our drowning spirits. It doesn't say picking us up and removing the drugs from us, man. It says uncovering our drowning spirits, because it understands that it's the drowning spirit that led me to the drug, right? Now, I understand that the drugs is what got me here. You know what I mean? I understand that now. But I didn't understand that at first, man. Like, people don't understand. When you say, like, my first step had nothing to do with the drugs. I just say this all the time, man. And people would look at me like I was crazy. It's always about the first drugs. Please share your experience of strength and hope, because that's what we got. Experience, strength, and hope. My experience to speak on this topic has a lot to do with not to do. You know what I mean? I did it so that you don't have to. Don't vote nobody out of home. You know what I mean? They're going to leave sooner or later anyway. Seriously. You know how many home groups I've had in Narcotics Anonymous? Don't worry, neither do I. You know what I mean? Me and you both baffled at how many it is. You know, I my life has been ever revolving. You know what I mean? Where I've been, like, you know what I mean? Like, I went, listen, with 6 years clean, man, I went through a separation that crippled me emotionally. Crippled me. And people was messed up looking at me, Mark. They said, you left her. How are you the one crippled? You left her. You know, I left her because she didn't love me, and I knew it. And I knew we was going to separate eventually anyway. Might as well get it over with. But what people didn't understand is I was a newcomer in that moment. I was hurting so bad, Ron. I didn't know where to put these emotions. I had never dealt with nothing clean like that. You know what I mean? I had no idea. These emotions were so strong and so fierce that I was going at everybody's throat. You know, and the only thing that I could do was keep coming back, man, and I was making mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake, and the fellowship was ridiculing me and ridiculing me and ridiculing me. And I was making mistake after mistake after mistake, and it was like I was giving them the sledgehammer to beat me over the head with it. You know? But I need to tell you guys, man, that was the most growing time I've ever had in my recovery. I grew more in that period, from that 6 to 10 year period, man, that I mourned the loss, than I ever grew in any period of time. They talk about your head pops out of your ass at 5 years. Mark, it ain't my story, man. It ain't my story. You know what I mean? It was like 9.5 years. That's what I said, pop, I said. What happened? Because I was emotionally back to that little boy. I was emotionally back to that little boy again, who didn't know how to deal with the pain, who didn't know how to deal with the emotions. You know? Like Jesse's talking about, man, like, the reality was, and Mike can tell you, I became a celebrity in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. Everywhere I went, people knew me. You know what I mean? Everywhere I went, people knew me. They knew my name, Mark. You know what I mean? When I walked by, because I've had a gift from the time I was 3 years old, that like I could look at an outfit sitting in the store, put that motherfucker together, and put it on my backside and make it look good. You know what I mean? And so I became something in an anonymous program. And I never, ever, ever, ever would allow myself to be a somebody in an anonymous program again. You know? But I'm grateful. You know what I mean? I'm grateful. You know, Jesse, I travel this country, man. I travel the entire country speaking for Narcotics Anonymous. I'm grateful that my name got out there. I'm grateful that people thought that I had experiences to share on topics. I'm grateful that people thought that I had a message that I could deliver to people. I'm grateful for the worldwide fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous that has given me a platform to travel the world and see things that I couldn't see on a one block radius in the projects of Baltimore City, Mike. I ain't know nothing about how to get off of that one block radius. You know what I mean? You ever seen The Wire? I was that little dumbass white boy on the one block radius, just going around West Baltimore, you know? And I couldn't get off of it. And I left, came to Pennsylvania, and I couldn't get off of it, Jesse. You know? And now, man, like, now I go all over. And it's not a big eye thing anymore, man. It's a blessing, and it's an honor, and it's a privilege that people see that an addict, any addict, especially this addict, really, this addict, you know, could not only stop using, but lose the desire to use and find a new way to live, man. I'm talking about a new what? A new way to live? You know what I mean? I'm talking about, we were talking about this, me and another gentleman was talking about this downstairs, and it's right on the topic, right? Because it's crazy. It's crazy because, you know, there was a member, he had 3 days clean, and, you know, and I remember I had 3 days clean. I was in this facility called Arkman. I had been in this facility 7 times. They knew my name. I was a celebrity in that motherfucker too. They knew my name, they knew where I was from, they knew how to get to me, they knew how to make me mad, they knew how to make me cry, you know, and it's crazy, man. I was in there for 3 days, and this gentleman came in for H&I at Narcotics Anonymous, and he had shared how he went to prison, because I was on the way for the distribution of narcotics. I was on my way to prison, and he shared how he made 6 figures a year legally in Narcotics Anonymous. I don't know that I heard anything after. I made 6 figures a year legally in Narcotics Anonymous. That's why I came here, young man. I wanted to make 6 figures a year legally, because I had never made it illegally. Young man, you're not gonna make 6 figures. Don't. Don't come here for that. You're gonna set yourself up. And I never made it, man. And thank God over the years, man, I've been humble. And I learned that I was here for me. And I had learned, you know, because I came here, Mike can tell you, I tell people all the time, I came here for my kids. And somewhere along the lines, it stopped being about my kids. And it started about being about me. Mark, it started about being a good man, and potentially a good husband for somebody, Jesse. I've accomplished, and this isn't no big eye, no little you shit, but Mike can tell you, I accomplished what I came here for. I'm an extraordinary father. Extraordinary. You know what I mean? I am at everything. I take him to and from school. I literally quit a prestigious job in the carpenter's union to start my own business, not to make money, Jesse, so that I could be at every baseball game, so that I could take him back and forth to school, because I had to start too early in the union in order to do that. I just wanted to be a good dad, man. I just wanted to be a good dad. Man. Started that business, man, and I'm at every baseball game, and I'm doing the right things, and, young man, I made six figures. And the minute I stopped chasing money, property, and prestige, it stopped diverting me from my primary purpose. And when it stopped diverting me from my primary purpose, and my primary purpose was to be a good father, and my primary purpose was to be a good recovering addict, and my primary purpose was to make sure that I could be here so that when you walk through the door, that there's an addict just like you, looking at you and saying, if I can do it, so can you, right? Because the 11th step talks about after you get everything that you come here for, what then, right? So what then? That's what then. With 40 years clean, he's still sitting there. So with 14 and a half years clean, I'm still gonna be sitting. And I'm still going to be here because I got to be the bridge. He's going to be gone one day. And I got to be the bridge to make sure that newcomer understands and is accepted so I can give them that hug. And I can say, welcome to Narcotics Anonymous. You know what I mean? You are loved. You know what I mean? Then one of the members that I've argued with the most in Narcotics Anonymous is a member from the New Kent area named Joey. I'm telling you right now, you will argue with him if you share a home group like there is no tomorrow, but you will never get hugged in the fellowship with Narcotics Anonymous like Joey gives hugs. I thought I was gay that first time that man hugged me, man. Come on, hug me, man. I did one of these. Melted in this big-ass dude's hands, man. And I knew right then and there, man. And so, yes, I've been humble, but I don't have a lack of humility anymore. Right? I know who I am. I know what I came here for. I know what I stand for. You know what I mean? Listen, I'll tell you right now. I just had this argument with Matt. I came here. I came here late. You know what I mean? I heard some people down there sharing. I walked down. I looked like a predator. I walked down as the women's rep. I sat the fuck down. I looked around. I said to myself, I said, self, I don't see no fellas. I sat the fuck down anyway. Because I'm not here for y'all. I'm here to get a message. I'm not here for the women anyway. You know? And I sat down and I went up. And Matt said, it's okay. It's okay. You broke a rule.
A barrier.
You broke a barrier. I said, no the fuck I didn't. No, I didn't. This is Narcotics Anonymous. Y'all told me this is a fellowship of men and women for whom drugs have become a major problem. You know what I mean? Y'all told me in all 12 steps that unity is our primary purpose. Right? Y'all told me our primary purpose is to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. And don't say shit about what gender in there. Right? And I'll share this and I'll shut up. I don't know how much time I got. You don't care. All right. You don't care, I don't care. I went to the men's conference. I won't speak at the men's conference anymore. I turned the men's conference down. I had 2.5 years clean, and I was speaking at the men's conference, and the disease of addiction jumped on my back and said, you know you got the least amount of clean time here, right? And I said, no, I did not know that I had the least amount of clean time here. And the disease of addiction said, you know you're out of your league, right? And I was trying my best to combat the disease of addiction one. And right before I went up, I didn't ask God. I didn't ask God to lead me. And I went up there and I gave the worst lead I've ever done in Narcotics Anonymous. And I swore to God, I would never give another lead. That I would always, anytime I was asked to speak, to pray and let the God of my understanding influence what comes out of my mouth. I don't rehearse nothing, you know what I mean? So I'm here to tell you that I don't support men with men and women with women. I don't support it. It doesn't say that in our literature. It's nowhere in our fellowship. I do support women sponsoring women and men sponsoring men. But and I'll share this and I'll be quiet. You know, I had a sponsor one time. He was a doctor, and everybody kept calling him Doc. And I said, that's not his fucking name here. You know what I mean? It's not his name. You know, his name is such and such. And he's just like me and you. You know? They say, what's out of respect? It ain't out of respect for the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. The Fellowship of... To respect him in the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous is to address him by his first government name. That's how we do here. That's what keeps me and you on the level playing field. Right? And, you know, he's no longer my sponsor. It's not because of that. It's because, it's just because he wasn't my sponsor. And I knew, and I moved on, you know. And I happened to speak in Dayton, Ohio. I was speaking at a speaker jam in Dayton, Ohio. And there's a young rapper in a fellowship in Pittsburgh area. And the kid had asked me, oh, so you know such and such, right? And I was like, no, I do not. I do know, and I said his government name. And he's like, yeah, that's who that is. I said, no, that is his performer name. This is his name. There are no celebrities in Narcotics Anonymous. We're all equal here. No matter how long we've been here, no matter how good we are at speaking, no matter how bad we are at speaking, no matter what our job is. I didn't tell you what my job is. I didn't tell you what my profession is. I didn't tell you how much money I got. I didn't tell you what I drive. I didn't tell you none of that. Because it's none of your business. And it doesn't serve any purpose here. You know. And I'll leave with this. I will share this. This is the only opinion I'm going to share. Everything else has been my experience that I've come across in Narcotics Anonymous. You know what I mean? I do believe in my heart that Narcotics Anonymous is fulfilling Martin Luther King's dream. It's the only place where black, white, Puerto Rican, Asian, gay, straight, whether you're religious, whether you're not religious, it's the only place where we don't give a fuck. What do you want to do about your problem? And how can we help? So no matter what, if you don't like me, so what? You need help, I'll help you. If I don't like you, so what? You need help, I'll help you. You know what I mean? That's what Narcotics Anonymous is. That's the unity of this program. Regardless, when a recovering addict is struggling, if you're not willing to go over there and pick them up, do not stand above them. Thanks for allowing me to share. I'm an addict.